give you thanks. We glorify you. And we give you praise for all you do. Amen. We're going to look at something very short, I would want to believe. I was just hoping to you know, there's a difference between the ministry of the teacher and the ministry of the prophet. Yes. And oftentimes, you're going to find the ministry of the prophet intertwined with teaching. So while in fact the ministry of the teacher is more logical, more explanatory, more concise, more ordered, the ministry of the prophet, whose assignment is to preach and to teach, will have same, but it's just that there's going to be an influence of God's Spirit in the teaching. So the ministry of a prophet teaches or can teach in the spur of the moment. Does not mean he does not prepare. It just means that he prepares so well that his spirit is wide open to what God will have the people hear him speak to them. And so I'm trusting God that, too sure if that's something that's going to happen, but I'll just talk to you shortly. Let's see something in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter number 2. And I'm going to start reading from the NLT version. I told you today's service was going to be pretty short. But I guess we have it already. So we are going to take something very important. And then in the subsequent weeks, I would further build on them. Now again, I don't allow the use of phones, but I need a version that I don't have in print. So don't say pastor is using a phone. I do that so you would not be distracted. Okay. So Malachi chapter 2. And I believe it's a pre-Zello sort of Sunday that ushers us into our boot camp. And I didn't intend for us to have it this way, but I'm going to trust God's Spirit, right? I was just going to have a calm, somber, but he didn't have it that way. So Malachi chapter 2, we're going to be looking at something. It's like an instruction that I want us to take heed of as a church, and then we'll further build on that instruction. Right? So look at what's happening in Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, someone is asking, what's the topic for the sermon? The topic is in the verse. So I'll show it to you, right? And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, give glory unto my name, said the Lord of hosts. I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings, yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So God is saying, I'm going to separate you from myself. Right? Now look what he says in verse 5. He says this to Levi, the priest, or the family of Levi. He says, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Remember, the priest's duty is to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord before the people. So if a priest is not serving the Lord well, is much likely that the people are going to be in trouble, because their sacrifices God is going to reject, and they wouldn't hear from God clearly as they should. So he says something. He says that they have departed out of the way. He has caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. So the priest is not in right standing with God before the people. Right? Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. So they have chosen to obey some part of the law, and they also have chosen to disobey a part of the law. They have been partial. Have you met people who are partial with God's word? Right? When you say, the Lord loves you.
Yeah, God really loves you. God, you are so good.
You love me. The Lord is merciful to you.
Yes, the Lord is really merciful to me.
The Lord will send you help. Oh, amen. The Lord has sent me help. I believe it. I receive it. Hey, they're excited. Then another part of the word of God comes. Then they're like, hey, this one we can't
do it though. We can't do it.
You know, when I speak to people, I try to tell them God can do it. And sometimes, you know, the way the person looks at me, it's like, let's be serious here. You know, they always think you're like a fanatic, oftentimes when you believe God so much. Yes, you seem very weird and very strange. You know, let me just flow. But I have to tell you the story. So, verse 9. Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. A priest that is partial in the law is a dangerous priest. he chooses to follow some. I mean, a priest like that, you just be there one day and tender will strike. All of you be dead. Verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Had not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously? Treacherous person is an unfaithful person. Is a disloyal person. So the priests are dealing treacherously. They have not kept the covenant of the Lord. They have been partial with his word. Now many times as believers, don't think far like, these priests, they are really bad. I'll show you how that applies to you sitting and listening to me. Then he now says, verse 11, look at verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and had married the daughter of his strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offered the offering unto the Lord of hosts. Now, this is actually Malachi, the prophet, speaking, just so you know, right? In the days of Nehemiah. So he had a message from God to a corrupt people. That's what was happening. He had a message from God to a corrupt people. And these people happened to be some corrupt priests as well, from the tribe of Levi and from the tribe of Judah. So he now explains these two. Then he now says, verse 13, I'm jumping some verses, I'm going on to verse 13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering anymore, or received it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. So, they are also not just partial with the law. They have wives that they are supposed to be married to, that they are disloyal to. Interesting. A priest from the tribe of Levi and Judah. There's something dangerous. You have a wife, you have other side chicks. Yes, but here everybody's holy. So. You don't think so? Everybody. Or you have one girlfriend, you have two other sides, just in case. Hey, priest. So, something interesting is happening. Then he now says, so you see, they are living in utmost disobedience. Can you see that? So they have dealt treacherously with their wives, who happen to be their companion and the wife of thy covenant or of thy youth. They've been unfaithful to her, though she is the partner. Wow. Verse 15, and did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Now, And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So God is saying something. Take heed to their spirit. Now, it's very simple. The reasons why they find themselves doing all these was because they were not taking heed to their spirits. Some other rendition says they should pay attention to their hearts. Look at verse 16. The Lord says, for the Lord the God of Israel said that he that hated putting away for one covereth violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. So God is saying that you hate your wife and you do violence to her. Says, hey, be on guard. Don't be unfaithful. Tell your friend, take heed to your spirit. Turn to the next person and say, take heed to your spirit. Say, brother, are you listening? Turn to the next person and say, I hope you are listening to what pastor is telling you. Say, take heed to your spirit. Yeah. So the reason why they were doing all the things that they were doing was because they were not taking heed to their spirit. The believer who does not take heed to his spirit is more likely going to be found not doing what God wants him doing. Take heed to your spirit. There's no way that you will be probably out of the plan of God, out of the will of God, out of course, the plan of God and the will of God, right, is everything that encompasses God. As simple as it is, if you are sick, right, that's not the will of God for your health. Right? Now, if you're sad, that's definitely not the will of God for your soul. If you're brokenhearted, that is certainly not the will of God. In fact, that is opposite the will of God, because it's directly opposite to what Jesus Christ came to do. God's anointing or spirit on Jesus Christ, one of them was that he will heal them that are brokenhearted. If you find yourself in a space where it looks like you're struggling to get over a particular addiction or to get over a particular issue, something that you probably are maybe stuck with, that's definitely not the will of God. If you find yourself not serving the Lord as you should, that's certainly not his will. Now, this is the reason, is because you're not taking heed to your spirit. So, the Lord is speaking via the prophet Malachi, and he's pronouncing a prophetic utterance to the people. And he says to the priests, take heed to your spirits. So, what happened is that they are certainly allowing their hearts to grow cold because they are not taking heed to their spirits. Their zeal seems to be waning because they are not taking heed to their spirits. They were embittered against their wives because they were not taking heed to their spirits. There's no anger, rage, envy in the Holy Spirit that dwells in your spirit. But when you don't take heed, you decide to take heed to your flesh, there's going to be a problem. Now, the word taking heed means that you pay attention to. You pay attention to. You observe. I mean, some of you are sitting here right now. Okay, let me not draw your minds to it. But there's a song that's playing beautifully outside. And you are here, you are hearing the song clear while the preaching is still going on. How is this happening? I'm teaching you, take it to your spirits. But then there's a jam somewhere. And it's like, oh, what is this crap? Take your seats. So, the prophet Malachi is telling them, take heed. You guard, you observe, you give heed to, you pay attention to. Like I said, I'm going to build on it. So wherever we get to, I feel like we're on. We're just going to close the service. You take heed. You know, taking heed. How many of you, of course you were around, Ghana 50. You were there, right? Ghana 50, Ghana. Congratulations, Ghana. Ghana 50, let's all celebrate. How many of us were children by then? So you didn't know the song? Hey, why are those at the back lifting your hand? You were children by then. So you see, Ghana started taking heed to the fact that there was a 50th celebration up ahead. They were cleaning the streets, building the independent squares, painting every site. How many of you remember? Building boreholes, going into the communities, giving everybody something relating to Ghana. Oh, there were Ghana caps, Ghana books, Ghana t-shirts. You had all of those, right? Yes, that's taking heed to the 50th anniversary. It's like we became more intentional that Ghana was about to be 50 years old. 50. My grandmother was a headmistress. I remember so clearly. Boy, we had a lot of Ghana things. Caps, bows, books, shirts, flags, small flags. Boy, everywhere I go, Ghana. Ghana. They ask me, where are you from? Oh, Ghana. I'm just Ghana. Ghana. So I had a lot of that. That's Ghana taking heed to a 50th anniversary. Now, there are many times we can take heed to a lot of things and not take heed to what actually matters. And God is telling us as a church that we need to take heed. We need to pay attention to our spirits. So of course, the reasons why the priests were going to be disloyal, the priests were going to be treacherous, the priests were going to find themselves not doing what God wants them to do, was because they were not taking heed to their spirits. And so the flesh just feels like, yeah, drink alcohol. And then you're already looking for, not you, but they are already looking for alcohol to drink. It says, oh, just go outside, do something that's wrong. And then you see them following the flesh like that. Because they were not taking heed to their spirits. Flesh says, watch that pornographic content. He's saying, Lord, Shabbat, come on. WWW, give me some. XXX. And all of those. And you're not taking heed to your spirit because you just keep following what the flesh wants. Right? Now, if you're here and you feel like I'm talking about you, it's because I have to teach you. So the examples are not meant to pull you down. They are meant to get you in the teaching. Are you listening? So you take heed to your spirits, not to the flesh. Sometimes some of us can just eat. Like, I don't know how many times a day. Just like, eating becomes just something we just do for pleasure. So this fasting, you are just dying. Like, you wake up and you are thirsty. Oh. You're thirsty. I'm in my house, oh, but you see the way people be murmuring on me. Be murmuring. Fast. What is this fun? I don't even feel like fasting. The fasting is not even spiritual like that. It's not spiritual. What was all this fasting? And that's because a bullfruit seller just passed through. Just passed by. But every day you buy that bullfruit too. In the morning, you buy bullfruit two. You have a particular bullfruit seller. The bullfruit seller knows you. She has not seen you in like 14 days. So after 29, when you open, you say, hey, meba. You watch her. What are you going to say? Say, hey, mommy. What are you going to say? What's your home? Say, oh, hey. Those of you like morning watch here. Yeah? Ah, Maria. Wait. Some of you two don't eat in the morning, but I know you eat around 11. 10:30, 11. And you're used to having a good meal by that time. If it's tea, it's solid tea. If it's watch, it's solid watch. Around 11:29, 11:30, 11:45. Yeah, around that time. That's what you're used to doing. So everything is solid at that time. It's solid. See the ladies looking like they don't eat. Shocked the food they can eat. Even you sitting down, you can't eat that food. So, that's taking heed to the flesh. I'm teaching you. I'm not making you laugh. Like, that pastor is really funny. I'm not making you laugh. I'm teaching you. Huh? Yeah, just take your seat. So, there's a way you take heed to the physical body. Right? You take heed to it. When you've not eaten, you're very much concerned that maybe they said there's ulcer. So Charlie, let me just eat fast. Even if you don't want to eat sometimes, you say, they said there's something called ulcer. It's yefu edro, yefu cool. So if I don't eat, I'm going to do that. That's taking heed to the flesh. The flesh. So many times we take heed to the flesh. We take heed to the flesh. I read something says that, is medically, no, take you to the flesh. So, why you don't take you to the flesh?
or we are fond of taking heed to the flesh. Sometimes we just want to go to the beach, have a nice time, see around. See, it gives me some sanity. So you see, you take your eyes to go and remove things. So you remove, you see different scenes, you go to the beach, you relax. Some go to the pool, they swim. Those things are good. But I'm not talking about that. I'll leave that to your physiotherapy and your whatever. Some of us go to the gym. Some of the ladies are planning to enroll in gym that they've never enrolled. They've said it with their mouths and said it with their mouths and said it with their mouth. That's taking heed to the flesh. Isn't it? Which is not wrong. But you see, we do this because we take heed to the flesh at the expense of the spirit, because we do not understand that we're first and foremost spiritual people. We're not interested. So we're not too sure whether it even matters to take heed to the spirit. You visit the spa, you lie down, they press you, massage you. It's not me, I don't think that thing is good. It's even necessary. They worsen your pain. How many of you believe that is true? May God give you the opportunity to go to spas. The last time I went, it wasn't easy. I said, I'll never go again. It pressed my body. I was like, Charlie. And I read about it that it's not really helpful that much. It's not even helpful, because sometimes they cause the muscles to destroy or to expand within its reach. Because I don't know, maybe it was the sit down. Maybe it was the spa I went to. So I got up even more having body pains. I said, wait. I'd rather do a boniki than go to the spa the next time. So we're used to taking heed to the flesh. The nails, makeup, fine haircut, right? A beautiful hairdo. We eat well, drink good milk. You're taking heed to the flesh, right? But look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. The instruction is to take heed to your spirits. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Of course, Paul is more conscious of the spirit than he is of the flesh. So he now says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit. So he says, spirit what? First. Then what? Soul. Then what? Body. So, it's easy for you to say body, soul, and spirit. Or soul, body, and spirit. Most of the times, you are more likely to have the body in your thoughts. That's why when you've not eaten for 3 days, you'll be spinning your head like this. But you've not prayed, studied, read your Bible in 3 days, and there's nothing that happens to you. You're not taking heed to your spirit.
But I'm going to be teaching you how to take heed to your spirit. We're just going to introduce it just a little. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. And that's something that I believe that God is telling us to pay attention to as a church. Now, I believe that God as a church is leading us right now into how we can be constant recipients of His help. Are you listening? So it's like a continuation of what we had as an exhortation last week. Because you look for Him in the flesh, you're not going to find Him. You look for Him in the mental realm or in the soul, you will not find Him. He is spirit. So with your spirit, you're going to be able to contact Him in the realm of the spirit. With your body, you will contact the physical realm. With your soul, you're going to contact the mental realm. Or the realm that entails reasoning. So the believer who is not taking heed to his spirit is doing a lot of harm to himself. You know, I always told someone that the spiritual realm is more real, I'm telling you, is more real than the physical realm. I mean, if you were a god, would you create people to be in a realm where you're not dominant or a realm where you're not present? No. You are more present in the spiritual realm than you are in the physical realm. It's just that this realm that is more physical is more real to your physical senses. So when we speak the language of angels, the language of demons, the language of, you know, visions, in a realm that is unknown, it feels like it's very far away from you. It's actually not far away from you. You are actually more in that realm than you are in the physical realm. And that's why anything that happens in that realm materializes in this realm, which is the physical. So in the realm of the physical, you have things that have already happened in the spiritual realm, manifesting or showing itself forth in the physical realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the realm of the spiritual is more real. I'm telling you, it's more real. How are you able to see something weeks before and then weeks after it happens exactly as you see it? It means that there is a realm that controls this physical realm that looks very natural to us. So the believer who is not taking heed of that realm where God is and establishing that relationship with God where God is going to be disadvantaged. You see someone who has eaten so heavy, and as a result of like overeating, their stomach is heavy. But we come to church, come and pray. You see that the person will sit down like this. They've started fanning him. Sit down like this. Sit down, someone like this. 2 minutes into service, they are already fanning you. Something is like, yeah, just my. You're being fanned. Every fanning you to sleep. Cast fire. You're being fanned. You're going to sleep. You're going to pray. You've made up your mind that today is Thursday. I'm going to pray. Then you get into a room. 2 minutes. Eh? 2 minutes. You do this, is it? Cash. Then they give a more gentle blow. Then you wake up, it's already 6:45.
your seeds. So you see, the physical realm, that's why when you eat too much, you can't pray. You can't even study, you can't read your Bible. Do you see that? So we are fond of, you know, taking heed to the flesh, taking heed to the soul. There's a soul. And that's why we go to school. So we're trained, we're educated. We study math, we study English, we study science, environmental studies, primary. You study all of these things. I think Ghana has to review their... Well, I don't know anyway, but that's not my case. So, because I'm wondering what you are doing with all of those. And I'm wondering what I did or I'm doing. Maybe it's not me to keep my environment clean. So you see that we're taking heed to the physical. We're taking heed to the soul. The reasoning. We want to be smart. We take courses that get us advanced. Then it comes to the spirit. Then we're like, oh, it's a waste of time. It's too much. I don't really have time. I pity those who don't have time for the things of the spirit. No seeing, no hearing. How do you live your life? How do they live their life? Not you. How do they live their life? No seeing, no hearing, no visions. I mean, when I don't get visions, I get up and I start to pray. It's very rare. Yeah. It's just like I get up and I'm not seeing. I do this. I can't see. No, I think that's a strange thing. I can't see. I look at you. I can't see. I can't see anything. Say, hey, who is standing before me? Hey, I can't see. Who's standing before me? It's a concern. So in the realm of the spirit, when I look at you and I say, Lord, what are you showing me? There's nothing. I say, what are you seeing? Say, there's nothing. Lord, hearing, I start to get concerned. I start to get concerned. What are you saying, Lord? From today, always, everybody listening to me, I want you to be intentional. Are you listening? About praying for the spirit of revelation. Pray for it. The spirit that makes things bare before your eyes. Pray for it. Ask God for it. Yeah. I believe Kenneth Hagin was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Because he said he prayed this prayer all his life. Yeah. So when you look and you can't see, you want to hear concerning a matter and you cannot hear. Of course, you can't hear because he is not speaking. You can't hear because you're distracted. You're taking heed to the physical or to the flesh. You're taking heed to the soul, but you're not taking heed to the spirit. Say, let's pray for a few hours. That's how you see believers just dragging their feet. No. So we're going to take heed to our spirits. Are you listening? Yes. Proverbs chapter 20. Why are you going to take heed to your spirits? Why are you going to take heed to your spirits? Why are you going to take heed to your spirits? I've met some people say, Prophet, can you pray and see what is happening? If it was just this scene, but we all see. Don't we all see? If it was just this scene, we all see. But why are you not able to see? If you were not seeing in the physical, you would have said, let's go to the, ophthalmologist or optometrist. Which one is it? Let's go to the eye doctor. But why is it that you cannot see? Or you do not hear? You cannot sense or perceive. And you seem to be okay. So, we're going to take heed to our spirits. We're going to take heed to our spirits. Not just to the flesh. Not just to food. Not just to sleep. Not just to sleep. Not just to sex. No, to our spirits. And there's a constant war against the physical or the flesh and the spirit. Take heed to your spirits. So with the physical body, we contact the physical realm. We contact things we can see. We contact things that we can touch. We contact things that we can hear. If he speaks to me, he's going to be able to. I'm going to be able to hear him with this. I'm going to be able to see someone coming from outside. Because I'm active in the physical realm. But that, why is it that an angel walks past you? You don't know. God speaks to you. You don't hear. It's because you're not taking heed to your spirits. Sweets. You're always eating sweets. That's your addiction. Sweets.
You say, Pastor, but you do you like sweets too?
I don't really like sweets that much. That's honestly. Juice, yes. Not sweets. I have sweets.
You see, so you thought you know me, you see. You don't really know me.
But we're going to be more intentional. You know, when I wake up from God, from in the morning, there's a way I read my Bible, or I look out for what he's trying to say to me. I'm always on the lookout for what he's saying to me, or what he wants me to be attentive to. Some of us are taking heed to our work. In fact, when we wake up, we don't know how we appear in the bathroom. Like we fly into the bathroom. There's no that we can't tell what verse we read. What we just fly into the bathroom because we are taking heed to our work. Taking heed to our school, which is not bad. All of these things I'm telling you is not bad. But I'm telling you that there's something that is very key you must pay attention to. And it's to your spirits. No Bible? No meditation, which we're going to look at next week? We look at how to take heed to your spirit. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is to open up the teaching to tell you that there's something you need to take heed to. Are you listening? Yeah. You just jump into that business, jump into that, what do you call it? Relationship, jump into that, deal. Without getting to know what God's Spirit is saying to you. Because you don't take heed to your spirits. You know, one time, quite recently, last week or so, I got home from the church row, and I heard God like a man talking to me. And he said to me, he says, "You're going to meet somebody as you go. Tell the person this and this and this and that. The person is going to be your old friend, somebody you've known for a very long time. Tell the person this and this and this and this. Have you heard?" I said, "I've heard you, Lord." So I didn't mind to ask what time it was going to happen. I just said, "I heard you." So I got down from the car and I was going, and he said something again when I got to that exact spot. He says, "It's going to be at this spot." And I said, "But I've already passed this spot." And he didn't say anything again. So I walked past. The next day, I took the same route again. And I was telling him, "The Lord, you told me yesterday that I was going to meet somebody that I know." He told me, "You know this person very well. Tell the person this is what I said." So the very next day, I found myself walking. When I got to that spot, I lifted up my head. I saw the person walking coming. Yeah, I saw the person walking coming. And it wasn't at my house. It was around this place. Saw the person walking coming. I said, "Lord, you told me this yesterday." And then it went through my mind quickly. You didn't ask me when exactly it was going to be. You assumed it was going to be there and then. So I said, "Oh, okay. How was I able to know? Because I was taking heed to my spirit. There was a voice that spoke to me that I heard clearly. If you will take heed to your spirit, he will lead you exactly to where he wants to help you. You're not taking heed. That's the reason. And boy, this thing happens to me a lot of times. I remember I was in Kumasi. Take your seats. And I got out. Ezekiel's prophecy, how the word entered him and he stood up, right? But that's so I don't take your seat, stand. So I can know those who want to stand and those who are actually standing. Right? So I was in Kumasi. And boy, this is my normal life, I tell you. Because I always want to take heed to what the Spirit of God is saying, what he's showing, what he thinks about the situation, what he wants in that situation. So I walked out. I was at a place. Oh boy. And I went to wait on the Lord a couple of days. And I was just there, the lights went up. So I came out, there was light all over. And I said, "Lord, I don't know where I can get a bulb to buy, because I'm sure it's a bulb problem. Those around had bulbs." So I just walked out of the house and I heard God clearly. I just was walking. I got to a junction. I remember, and it was very far from where I lived. I got to a junction. Then I remember. Then I sensed his leading. Move left. I didn't hear a voice. I just knew it. You need to move left. So I moved left. I got to another junction far off. Move right. Then I moved right. There was a junction in front. On your left. On your right. move left. Then I moved left. Then I went. Then, when I was almost there, that was when I heard him. He said, you're almost here. And people were, I literally walked into a place where they were selling different bulbs. I never knew that. I never knew what the person was talking about. I didn't know where I could get it. Because I was taking heat to my spirit. We're going to be dealing with this a couple of weeks. I trust that it should bless you. Taking heed to your spirit. Because that's how we can have God's help coming up at us. I'm going to take heed in the subsequent weeks. I'm going to show you how. If you will practice it. 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 It reminds me of an interesting story. Something quite recent that happened. Someone came to visit me. And she didn't know where she left her car. So I was, in my mind, I was like, what's happening here? How can you come somewhere and you don't know where you've left your car? It means that my area is really bad, you know? So we started looking. I said, yeah. This one there is a serious issue. Serious. Ah, did you know who it is? Ah, you don't know? It's a quiet story. Yeah. For like 25 minutes, walking around, trying to find where it was. Well, one of the things that came to my mind while we're looking for that was that just take heed to your spirit. So I remember just speaking in tongues together with her. But I can say that how that car was found is because we took heed to our spirits. She left it somewhere I've never even gone before. I don't know what you are looking out for, trusting God for. Some of you are wondering, how is it that maybe at a point in time, pastor is able to call at the right time, pastor is able to call at the exact time I'm anticipating or I'm looking out for? Something is happening. It's like he gets to me. He says what I need. He gives the right counsel. It's all in taking heed to the Spirit. I can't sit down and watch all of you. But I only take heed to my spirit. And the Lord tells me, get to this person now. Tell this person this now. Counsel this person in this way. Correct this person as a result of what they have done. It's not good. Because I take heed to my spirit. Listen to me. There's wisdom that's going to come to you in ways you never expected if you will take heed to your spirit. He's a God of all spiritual wisdom. He's God of all knowledge. He knows what you need. He knows how to do what you have to do better than you want to do it. If you will take heed to your spirit, not to the flesh, not to the soul, to the spirit. And as we make preparations for our zeal of the Lord would come, this is one of the things we're going to find ourselves doing, is that we're going to be more spirit conscious, not flesh conscious, not soul conscious. As good as these two are, because they too help the spirit dwell and reign. But we're going to be more attentive to the Spirit of God. And it's in that attentiveness we'll get to have that leading, that prosperity, that fruitfulness. We'll get to have revelations in different forms. It's when we take heed to our spirits.
not to the flesh. I tell you, whenever you have not prayed, you have not studied, you have not meditated on the word of God, you are not practicing the word of God, that is a serious thing to pay attention to. Because it deprives you of that which you have to do. So as a church, we're going to take heed to the Spirit. It's not going to be by might, neither is it going to be by power, but it's going to be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, make a commitment this morning. I'm going to take heed to the Spirit, just like I take heed to the flesh. Some of us bath every day. We brush our teeth every day. We iron beautifully. We're taking heed to the flesh. That's good. That's great. But I'm telling you that there's something that is of more interest to God, is that you take heed to your spirits. Go ahead and make a commitment. Go ahead and make a commitment. Go ahead and make a commitment. I'll be more supernatural minded, spiritually minded. Mantekisho. Bratise kletopo rotoposo mantara papasa mantrosotekepa jerekito zoprataba mantolista branto suva kital brata seke ziatosh kibantai brosotelepra seketa maloko.